buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast.
Following a crippling EMP attack against the USA, college student-turned-survivalist Danny Walker finally makes it to his secure rural location. No sooner does Danny arrive than he is given another petrifying prophetic vision of the chaos still to come. The country has been brought to its knees, and the thin veneer of civility has been torn to shreds by the savagery lurking just below the surface. Danny has survived the EMP, but will he live through the most vicious era in U.S. history? By Ichabod, Book 2 of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt. From Amazon.com today in Kindle, paperback, or audio edition.
Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. Today's guest is Eve Gonzalez of Trading Post in the Woods. Eve, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back again.
Oh, absolutely. We love having you on this show. We're going to get right into it because we've got so much stuff to cover today. Fox had an article a few weeks back, and it was about Homeland Security's new SafeTrack program. It's where they're focusing on their efforts to be able to evacuate D.C. in the event of a terrorist attack or man-made or natural emergency. So the program administrators are very concerned that citizens don't have a plan and that that's going to add to the chaos. So this is DHS. This is not some crazed conspiracy theorist website telling people that they need to get a plan to evacuate. How does a person come up with an evacuation plan, and then how do they implement that?
Okay. That is something that I've written numerous articles out on, and it is very, very important. You know, people perish because they had no plan. And having spoken at different events that your listeners have come to, and you know, other people who maybe haven't been a listener, but a lot of them have been your listeners, praise God. And thank you again for all those that come out to the events because they've listened to these podcasts and are wanting to learn. But one of the big problems I have found is that even though people are starting to gather up some supplies and maybe taking class here and there, they're not focused with any sort of specific detailed game plan. And they have no plan for evacuating, which is a huge mistake. Your very first thing that you need to sit down and do is to make up your plan of evacuation. In doing that, you know, one of the things I like to tell people is you sit down as if you're husband and wife, sit down as a husband and wife, and you start thinking of all the different scenarios that could go on. Now, if you're in Washington, D.C., you know, you're certainly not going to, unless you have a boat, some sort of yacht, and plan on going out into the ocean, there are only, you know, a few directions that you're going to head out to. So you're going to look and make your plan and go put in all the what-ifs. Okay, so we're going to evacuate west, and you're at work, and I'm at work, and the kids are in school. Where are we meeting up? Are we even able to get our children? Or have they become ward of the school district? Because we've talked about that before, haven't we? How there are a lot of school districts throughout the U.S. that are now implementing that if a disaster happens, the child becomes ward of the school district. Have we discussed that?
I don't know if we've talked about, if you and I have talked about it on this show. I know I've talked about it with other guests, that there are plans in place to take your children to a stadium or something like that. There's schools that have required.
Well, they don't have to tell you where they're taking them.
Yeah, they don't have to tell you.
And
And you're not allowed to pick them up until the disaster's over, and they're requiring some parents to provide their children with basically what is essentially a bug out bag that's kept at the school. So not only are they going to basically take your kids to a FEMA camp, but they're going to make you pay for it. But I mean, we've been paying for our own incarceration for some time now. So that's not a huge surprise to most of the folks listening to this show, but go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, you start with your, as a husband and wife, you sit down and you look and go, what is the game plan? If you're, both of you are at work and your child's at school. Okay, now if your school's in, your child's in a school where the district, they become ward of that district, well, there's nothing you can do for your child. Okay, as you can't show up at the school with weapons to try to get your child back. They will have people there to prevent that from happening. So the question is, does your child know how to get in contact with somebody to inform you where they are? Do they have a means to do that? Where will you and your spouse meet up at? Where are you ultimately going to? How are you going to get there? You look at every aspect and you come up with a plan. And then you come up with a plan B. And then you come up with a plan C. And then you come up with a, and for that one direction. And then what if you have to go north? Okay, what if all the main roads are shut? What if they put up a barrier block and go, sorry, you're not getting out, but you also can't return home to your home because something devastating happened in there. Where's your meetup? Making a game plan and making an evacuation plan is the hardest thing you will have to do. It's the most important thing you will ever do because it is going to set the rest, everything else that you're going to do, okay? And I met with an EMA director and his wife at one of the events that I was at, and he was furious with his wife that they were having a private sit-down consult with me. He just didn't want to do it. He thought it was crazy. So I asked the man, I said, will you just humor me? Humor me and give me 5 minutes. If at that time you're not interested anymore and your wife wants to stay, I'll talk with just your wife. But I prefer to talk to both of you. But give me 5 minutes and then if you want to go, you can go. So the guy's like, okay, I can give you five. I said, okay, I have a question for you. I said, do you have an evacuation plan? And the wife smiled and he's like, no. And I'm like, okay. I said, does your wife work? Yes. And I said, and you work? Yeah. And I said, do you have a location that you ultimately plan on getting to? He's like, yes. And I said, how far away is it? And it was 60 miles away. So I said to him, okay, you're both at work and you die. But your wife doesn't know that you're dead. She just knows that you're going to try to somehow get to your daughter's property. But she doesn't know where she's supposed to meet up with you. And she's not going to want to try to figure her own way out to get to your daughter's house because she's not going to want to leave you behind. What's the game plan? And that man sat there and he said, I died. And my wife is left all alone. And I said, yeah, you're dead. And now she's all alone. What's the game plan? And he goes, I have no idea. Okay, let's talk. You know, it takes those scenarios to sit there and go, you know, things happen, and when they happen fast. And if you have lots of different options that you and your spouse sit down and come up with, when the event actually happens, you kind of go into autopilot. Your brain now has a scenario and a game plan, and it's going to follow it. Your mind will follow it the best that you can. And when you have to veer from it, plan B kicks in, plan C kicks in. But I told him, I said, you know, if you had a meetup place in a specific time you waited, and then you moved on to a next meeting place in a specific time to wait. I said, your wife would not just wait around forever. I said, because she'll become a victim. I said, your wife needs a game plan, and when she waits a certain amount of time and you don't show up, she knows she has to keep on going. And I said, but if you don't sit down and you don't make that plan and then share that plan with your children and share with them, age appropriate, what they are to do, then it can be weeks or months before you may meet up with them. You can perish because you got caught in the mass hysteria and didn't have a game plan. And what, you know, you don't want to starve to death somewhere because you have no food. You didn't make it to where you wanted to go. So it first starts with sitting down purposefully with your spouse and going, okay, let's look and see if there's what a earthquake, if there's a hurricane, if there's a terrorist attack. What are the different rates? Where are we going to? Where's our meet-up points? But because roads could be closed off or impassable or whatever, you have to have plan A, plan B, plan C. And I tell people who have children, I said, you come up with a game plan. First find out what is their protocol for the school district. You need to know it. Don't assume. Just go find out what it is. And if you don't like it, work to change it now. You have a voice, so work to change it if you don't like it. And then, you help your child start to memorize telephone numbers, names, ways that they would be able to contact when they're able to. If there isn't, then you need to let them know and give them assurance and go, you know, we know that if something were to happen and we can't get there to you, we don't want you to panic. We don't want you to be afraid. You know, we've taught you skills. We've taught you knowledge. You will be able to help yourself and help others. You give them and help them to gain that security in skill and knowledge that they need. And then you let them know, you know what, we will find you. We will find you, and we will get together once again. But it's really important to help your children. And I can take a two-year-old and start training a two-year-old in a lot of different things. So when you are doing your preparedness stuff, you get all of your children involved. And the older they are, the more involved they should be, and you teach them those skills, and you give them knowledge, and you build up their confidence so that they will know that they're going to be okay. Most children, when they're separated from their parents, are afraid. They become insecure. They're going to go with what is ever told to them, and it might not be the right advice. Will your child be able to not do something that they're being instructed to do, even if they know it's a bad thing? You know what? The more that you help instill in them, the better judgments they're going to be able to make. And they may not be able to do anything, but maybe they will be. You don't know that. So educate them. Give them skills. Encourage them. Build up confidence. Do the things that you need to do now. But then you also need to include them. What if they're not in school? What if they're home alone? What happens if they're home alone and mom and dad are at work? What do they do? Where are they supposed to go? What if you can't get back to the house because a no return order is called? Where are the children supposed to go? And you make those game plans. So there's the game plan and evacuation plan. It's the most detailed. It's the most difficult thing to get through. But when you do it, you will be very grateful. And then from that point on, everything else starts to fall into place. you're able to look and go, okay, we know we need this and this and this. We know we need to pick up these skills. We want to be able to, you know, make sure everybody has their own filters for when they're even, you know, if I had a child in school, I would make sure in their backpack they had a water filter system. You know, like a Berkey bottle or something where, you know, they would be able to get water and have safe water. You know, because if water is going to be a shortage, then it's going to be a shortage for everybody. But you have now equipped your child with another way that they could get more water. You know, and it's not like they don't have to advertise. It's just, you know, it looks just like a regular drinking bottle. So it's not like it has to be advertised out, but you're equipping them. You're giving them the best shot possible to survive and taking away the fear that goes with the separation and the unknown.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out Silver.com today. Ready Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com. And one of the things you brought up in there, you brought up in your conversation with the man, you know, what happens when, you know, if you die, what's the plan for that? That's something that people don't want to ask themselves because they've written the story in their mind, which is a large part of the reason why people don't prepare, because they've written this false narrative in their mind that somehow, you know, manna comes out of heaven or FEMA is going to show up at their doorstep with a case of MRE, something. They've written some type of false narrative in their head that says, you know, that's never going to happen to me. But there's this list of pointed questions that people need to ask themselves to really, really be prepared. And you've written it in a recent article that you forwarded to me, and I wanted to go over some of those questions. And the first question on that list is, a disaster happens and you, your spouse, and all of your children except one die. What's the plan for that? You know, and yeah. So there's these questions that people don't want to ask themselves, but that they need to be asked. Can you talk a little bit about that one?
Yeah, and that, you know, a lot of what I share with people is stuff I've seen firsthand, or other people who have been responding with us have experienced and have shared the story. And it is, you know, we have had. And I did. I walked into an area and, you know, I was the first person there and this young child had lost everybody. You know, you never want to think of that happening. But what is the game plan if it does? Will it happen? It could. Has it happened? Yeah, I've seen it. And lived it. And it's gut-wrenching. Even as a responder, I mean, you want to just cry and cry out with that child because their life, as they know it, will never, ever, ever be the same. Never. And that's why it is so important. We do want to believe that nothing is ever going to happen. If a disaster does happen, it's not going to affect us. If, you know, if it is a freak accident and it does hit our town, we'll all be fine. It's other people who die, but that's not true. I mean, it could be your child, your spouse, all your children. You know, you just don't know. And so you have to look at all those scenarios and go. And I have sat my children down. We have talked. And I'm like, if something should ever happen and I die, or Dad and I die, here is what you will do. Here is what. And knowing the mind of a child, and now my, you know what, my daughter's 21 and my son is 31. I still, you know, I'm like, this is what you will do. Why? Because I am still their mom. And to them, it will be a devastating moment in time. And I want to be able to help them keep on going. And by having that game plan for them, even though they will be emotionally devastated, I have given them a pathway to keep on going. And that's what we need to do. And so people don't want to think it will ever happen, but it does. And that's why your game planning is so important. And you have to look at all those scenarios because what if it does happen? I don't want my children immobilized. I don't want my spouse immobilized because something happens to me. I want them to keep on living and fulfilling the work that God has for them. I want them to keep on going. And so the best gift I can give them is directions. And that's what we've done. We have sat down and we have really worked out all the what ifs. What if this? What if that? What if this? What if that? And going back to a podcast that you had quite a while ago, a topic came up about some people, an airplane crash had happened, and people were not getting off the plane. They hadn't died in the crash, but they ultimately died from the crash because they never left their seats. And, you know, what we see in a disaster area is two things mentally. One is called frozen in fear, and that's what happened on those airline flights that where there was a crash. And it wasn't that the people weren't yelling, get off the plane, get off the plane, and shaking people, and some people even report trying to pull, and they couldn't. And the people just looked off like they're in a just frozen state. And it's called frozen in fear, where the mind, something so traumatic happened that the mind has no scenario on how to respond. And so your brain will cycle, and it keeps looking for a way to respond, but it can't come up with a solution. And while your brain is cycling, your body's not moving, okay, because your body doesn't know what to do. And when we come across somebody like that in disaster area, we have to just go by. Because if it's going to be, if I could perish trying to help them, I have to keep on going. I have a family and everything else, and I can't snap them out of that state. And there's a fabulous book called The Survivors Club. People can get it on Amazon for less than $15. But it really addresses that mind state and how can you prepare your mind now so that you don't become a victim. Excellent read. Highly recommend it. Because there are scenarios. You have to give your mind scenarios. And like when I go into a restaurant, I'm always looking for the exit doors. You know, and I sit there and I go, okay, you know, if this or that happens, this is how I will respond. Here's where I'm going to go, blah, blah, blah. And I'm throwing scenarios into my mind. So if all of a sudden I have an active shooter coming into that restaurant, I already have a game plan. The only way my game plan will not work is if I am shot and I'm laying on the floor somewhere, okay? That, you know, wouldn't work so well. But you can even throw that scenario into your mind. What are you going to do if you're in a restaurant and you're shot? So there are scenarios that you can give your brain, and that book addresses it beautifully. The other mindset that we see after a disaster happens is one of really disbelief and chaos, a mind that is so traumatized by what they have seen, they really become dysfunctional. And I know I've spoken before about how we have gone in and people have used up all the water, taking a bath, brushing their teeth, doing all kinds of stuff, and totally forgot they had a baby that they needed to have the water to give them formula. Or we've walked in and there was a woman who took all of her candles and she had lit her candles right next to her gas cans. Now, she had a logical reason for it, and that was that she needed light and she didn't want anybody to steal her gas. She had neighbors who had died. Over half of her house was gone. And so she was not thinking clearly. And so we have to look at them and go, okay, I want you to listen to my voice. I want you to hear what I'm telling you. I need for you to blow out those candles. We're not going to take your gas, and I know you need light, but here, we have light for you. And then you have to walk them through and try to get them out of the mind fog that they're in. It's the same mindset that we have seen people who will just freely give up everything that they have. We got into an area where two women had gone around to everybody in their area. They were closed off for like nobody was in or out of there in 2 weeks. All the roads closed off, everything. But these two women took it upon themselves, went around, and told people it was more important for the children to survive than the adults, and therefore the children needed the food. So give them all their food, and they would make sure that the children got to eat. Okay? Now, I don't know. I'm not giving my food over to anybody who comes knocking on my door. It was a brilliant idea on those two women's part. My guess is they didn't have any food. But what they did was they made all the children come and eat in front of them. They were not allowed to share any of the food with their parents. And if they didn't eat it all, they didn't get to take it with them. So, you know, those people who turned over all of their food and water right after the event happened, they weren't thinking clearly, okay? And you find yourself, you know, we have people that you've got down power lines and they're about ready to grab onto door handles where they would be electrocuted. And we have to yell those directions out to them because they're not thinking clearly. It happens. But if you walk once again in your game plans, you talk about stuff like that, and you feed your mind the information that it needs, even when they go through a state of trauma, their mind is still going to have ways to respond and know the correct way to respond. We all know that if you've got live power line down over your house and it's a metal roof and you're going to go grab onto your door handle, not a good game plan. You know, and I tell people, listen, stop and listen. Do you hear the zapping noises? If you touch your door handle, you will die. Okay, you will be electrocuted. Your house is live, okay? And, so there's a, it's a hard thing, but it can all be prepared for. Your mental stability can be prepared for and should be prepared for. And what you all do, and that includes what if somebody dies? What if all of a sudden you're having to find yourself all alone because you have no meetup point, and you have to travel 60 miles, 100 miles on your own? You know, what's your game plan? You can survive that. You don't have to die. You don't have to be a victim, but it should be well thought out, or you could be.
That's the end of the first half of my interview with Eve Gonzalez of Trading Post in the Woods. Come back next week for the rest of the show.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers Molly-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.